Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Last week, we began a new series and looked at the first stewardship from consumption to contentment that God brings about in the Christian. This week, we're looking at another stewardship from grasping to generosity in our lives. Now, in our passage, Paul is collecting an offering from the Gentile churches that he planted to help the impoverished Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Now, the purpose of this generous offering that he was collecting was not only to help fellow Christians that were in need, but to bring unity and goodwill between Jews and Gentiles. Now, for Paul, this act of generous giving is profoundly spiritual. In fact, he identifies generosity as divine from God, calling it a grace or a gift from God. Now, giving isn't to be offered begrudgingly, but voluntarily, Paul says, joyfully, abundantly, from the heart, even if we don't know how in the heaven we're going to do it. Now, the scriptures teach that generosity is not only a divine gift from God, it's not only an act of service and love to others, but generosity is a way for us to express our worship of God and our adoration of our Maker. So when we're generous, we find that a transformation takes place, where we are formed more and more into the image of Christ, who in his generosity became poor for us so that we might become rich. So let's hear now God's word to us from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and extreme poverty have overflowed into a wealth of generosity on their part. For, as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege in sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I'm testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. In George Eliot's classic novel, Silas Marner, there is a gentle weaver who's named Silas Marner, and he's accused of a crime that he did not commit. Exiling himself away from his hometown to a small village, he becomes a lonely miser and recluse. At one point in the story, Silas, his precious gold that he'd been amassing in his solitary existence, it was stolen from his property. All was lost. Neighbors told him that on New Year's Eve, Silas, if you were to stay up and hear the old year rung out and the new year rung in, it would be a sign of good luck for you. and possibly your stolen gold might be returned. Silas was unaware that the townsfolk were just playing a joke on him. But he stayed up late on that New Year's Eve, and as midnight approached, he thought that he heard some rustling outside. And so he stepped outside for a look, but he saw nothing. Now, as he was going back inside his home and about to close the door, the cold caused him to have a seizure, and it left him temporarily unconscious. The door of his home remained open, and he was unable to resist either the good or the evil that might enter into his home. When the miser's senses returned and he awoke, he closed his door and then he turned over to his hearth. And with his vision still blurry, he thought that he saw a glimmer of gold. Gold! He said to himself, the gold stolen from me has been returned. As his heart began to beat faster, the heap of gold, it seemed to glow. In fact, it seemed to grow larger before his delirious gaze. He stretched out a hand to grasp the restored treasure, but instead of a hard, cold coin with its embossed image, his fingers began to caress soft, warm, blonde curls. In utter amazement, Silas Marner, he fell to his knees and he bent his head low to examine the marvel. It was a sleeping child. Long lost sensations of tenderness began to reawaken inside him. Old impressions of some higher power presiding over his life revisited him. The miser who once grasped for gold coins now gently ran his fingers through gold locks of the mysterious child that he would adopt and then raise. The child's name was Hephzibah, meaning my delight is in her. She would draw Silas out of his shell, out of his selfishness, and bridge the gap between he and the villagers and his long forgotten self of youth. Did you know that the word miser comes from the same root word as the word miserable? The good news of generosity, Emmanuel, is that it jolts us out of our miserable existence. But it's so easy, isn't it, in our American culture, to get so wrapped up in ourselves, to get caught up in ourselves, in our small world. In fact, we feel that even all that we have is still not enough just for us. And so we hold back and conserve rather than give and serve. You see, it's the gift and grace of generosity that helps us to get out of ourselves, and it sets us free to live for God and for others. You see, generosity, it's an act of faith, trusting that God is going to supply our need so that we can have that overflowing and abundant blessing, not just for ourselves, but for others. And so by God's grace, it's generosity that God uses to open the floodgates of heaven so that we can be a people who are rich in love, rich in faith, rich in compassion towards God, towards others, towards ourselves. You see, the power of generosity is that it ensures our lives will go beyond the parameters of our problems and beyond the confines of our concerns. But generosity, it's counterintuitive. It's even a bit mysterious. Jesus says to us this, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. You see, this is the paradox of generosity. In giving, we receive. And in grasping, we lose. Now, it seems like there's a lot of loss with generosity when you look at it in face value. When you give, you lose money that you yourself would have enjoyed. Giving of your time to other people, it's gone. You can't take it back. Your energy that you poured into someone else, forever lost. But this isn't the case. It's the opposite of what you think. Joy comes not in what we keep, but in what we give away and what we share. We grow by giving ourselves away. And sacrificially giving away and giving of ourselves, you oftentimes have a great exchange where you receive something. Maybe it isn't money, but you receive a joy and a happiness in your life that goes deep. You find that you have a purpose in your life. There's personal growth that takes place, a deep satisfaction, and a greater endurance to face your own challenges in your life. Now, I'm not saying that this is some guaranteed formula that you can do and it works every single time. I'm not talking to Manuel about some silver bullet, and I'm not talking about a magic wand. But there is something profoundly spiritual about generosity. There is a principle that takes place within it where the repeated parting with money, with time, with attention, with emotional energy, and other resources actually replenishes us rather than depletes us. Now, medical studies, sociological studies, back up this spiritual teaching. Generous acts have been shown medically to trigger healthy chemicals in our brains. Things like oxytocin, dopamine, and endorphins. Now, generosity not only increases those chemicals, generosity leads to lower levels of things that aren't so good for us. Cortisol levels, which when you have too much of it in your system for too long, it brings about a wear and tear to your system, but the act of generosity lowers the amount of cortisol coursing through your system. Now, I have seen this over and over in my own life. I have seen this in others, and I've seen it here at Emmanuel, where generosity fosters health, a healthy mindset, a healthy spirituality, a healthy community. Generosity has blessed and has rescued Emmanuel from tight spots and empowered new ministries, not only this year, but throughout the decades, God has been faithful. Generosity has the power to instill hope in individuals and in communities. When you feel like there is no way out and you don't know where the resources is to come, and then an act of generosity comes, you feel hope, a way out. It's generosity that ennobles the human spirit. It's generosity that helps us to be generous of spirit so we can let go of grudges in our lives. Generosity helps us to make peace with the hardships that we are going through in our lives. Generosity helps move us out of ourselves to someone else that's in a place of need. Generosity helps you to see the world differently. Through generous eyes, you see the world and those around you with the eyes of abundance, rather than through the lens of lack and scarcity. It is good for you, and it is good for others. It's generosity that deepens our sense of being able to make a difference in our world, rather than just being passive and helpless. Generosity empowers us to influence our environment for good and for God. See, to be generous, it doesn't just happen by osmosis. You have to be thoughtful and you have to be heartfelt with how you use your money and your time. And so generosity is not only a disposition, but it is a daily discipline. You have to be able to control your money rather than your money controlling you to be generous. And so the fruit of generosity creates beautiful byproducts. There is a spiritual momentum. There is a relational momentum in your life and your relationships that comes out of generosity. And so, Emmanuel, the choice is ours. Will we live generous lives or will we live ungenerous lives? See, the gift of generosity is that it helps us like nothing else to transcend ourselves and to enjoy God, to enjoy one another on ever-deepening levels. It gives us a joy that we could never experience alone. It's good for us. It's good for the church. It's good for the world. It's good for all to make that steward shift from grasping to generosity. Amen.